Day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is the Lord's day. Not just Sunday, but every day is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made. So let us continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, we do thank you this day. We thank you, dear God, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the choir reminding us that we should praise and worship you every day, not just on Sunday, but every day. But dear God, it is a blessing when the people of God come together to collectively worship and praise you. You've told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we are to come to the house of the Lord. So thank you, dear God, that we're here today. Thank you that we're in reasonable health and strength. Thank you for those, once again, that you've brought off the sick bed, dear God. We thank you for being the healer. We thank you for being the provider. We thank you for being just who you are. We thank you for being our peace, our joy, our everything. We thank you, dear Lord. I pray now, dear God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Bless us to hear from you today, dear God. And then as we leave here, I think as Brother Rodney prayed, let us not just be hearers of the word of God, even as Minister Terman prayed, but let us be doers of your word, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to see each and every one of you are here. It's good to see some of our college students here, Sister Sydney Scott and also Sister Kiki, well, she's in college now. We'll call her Kiara, Sister Kiara. Also Brother Gerard and also Josh. So if I might have missed someone, all of our college students stand real briefly. If nothing else, we just put our eyes on you and want to be mindful to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Thank God for our young ladies and young men. All of our young men not doing crazy stuff. Some of our young men are doing some good stuff. Amen. Don't let people stereotype us like that. Some of our young men and young ladies are doing some good stuff. Also, I'm going to ask our visitors. We don't normally do this right now. We usually do it at the end. But I'm going to ask all our visitors to stand, please. I see several new faces, several visitors. Amen. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise for our visitors. Amen. And so at the end of service, make a beeline to them. And also, we have a visitor's card for you to fill out. But we thank God that you came to be with us today. We thank God. Get a Lord another hand clap of praise for our visitors. You may be seated. Thank God for our visitors. Amen. It's always good to see people come into the house of the Lord. So people don't have to come visit, but continue to encourage people to come. If they don't have a church home, encourage them to come and visit with us here at Love Fellowship. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles in your hand and stand, please, and turn with me. I'm going to read two passages. We've already read Exodus 20, verse 12. I'm continuing my Ten Commandments series, but I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy. That's just a couple of books over from Exodus. Deuteronomy. These commandments are so important that God mentioned them again. He mentioned them in Exodus 20, but also in Deuteronomy 5. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5 verse 16. And it reads as follows, reading from the New King James Version of the Scriptures. God tells us to honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Let me read that again. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 primarily, but also I'm going to read verse 4. Pretty well-known portion of Scripture. We probably know it better than we obey it, though. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. As I've been telling you, all of the Ten Commandments, all of them are mentioned again or reiterated again in the New Testament, except about keeping the Sabbath day. But all the other nine are mentioned several times also in the New Testament. So that's why I've been saying it's not just for Old Testament, not just throw the Ten Commandments out the window. But God says we need to still abide and apply these words to our life today. So chapter six, verses 1-4 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger or to wrath, but bring them up in the training or in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Once again, verses 1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning, a promise from the Lord, a promise from the Lord. You may be seated. A promise from the Lord. It's an awesome promise, a promise from the Lord. Beloved, in today's culture, in the climate that we live in today, obeying and honoring your parents, oftentimes said it's not the cool, quote unquote, the cool thing to do. Especially with many of our millennials and others, many people say it's not, I'm not going to obey my parents. It's not the cool thing to do. And while it may not be the cool thing to do to some, it's still biblical. Let me repeat that. It may not be the cool thing to some, but it's still biblical. The Bible says, children, to children, to children, obey. I'm going to mention this many times today. I want it to really get in your heart, your mind, your spirit. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Out of the Ten Commandments, that's the first one that's mentioned with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. God says, young people, God says, and older people too, God says, if you obey and honor your parents, it will be a blessing to you. It will be to your advantage. And this message, once again, is not just for young children, but it's also for us older folks too. Those of us who have parents that are still with us. Just because you are grown doesn't mean you should disobey and not honor your parents. Now many of you love fellowship. Many of you, I think, adults do pretty well in honoring and respecting your parents. You know, I myself, I have three daughters. My oldest daughter lives in Michigan and she has two sons. So I got two grandsons. So I got children and grandchildren, but I still respect, I still honor, and I still obey my 82-year-old mom. I don't be saying so like, well, mom, I'm grown now too. I don't have to listen to you. No, I still obey and respect and honor my mom. This commandment of honoring and respecting and obeying our parents is so important that God mentions it in several times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I often say when God keeps reiterating stuff, keep mentioning stuff, it's not like he has forgotten. It's for your good and my good that we might really understand and see that this is very important to you. Colossians 3:20, that's another place. Colossians 3:20, you can write that down and read it later. It says, children, young and old, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And I'm speaking this morning with an assumption that I'm speaking mainly to the Christian households. But even if your parent is not a Christian, as long as they don't tell you to do something that's ungodly, unbiblical, you don't have to obey that if they tell you to do something that's ungodly, unbiblical. That's just common sense there. But you still can honor and respect them. You still can honor and respect them, but I'm primarily preaching to the Christian household. In Deuteronomy 5:16, listen to what it says. We read it a few minutes ago. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. It's not an option. It's not God saying, if you feel like it, maybe you can obey your parents. No, God said he commands us to obey our parents. He said, do that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1-3, once again, will be our primary text. Ephesians 6:1-3, once again, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, verse one, God just flat out tells us to obey your parents. So that has more to do with action. Obey your parents. Verse two and three has more to do with your attitude as you do obey your parents. See, it's one thing to obey your parents and do it cheerfully, but it's another thing to obey your parents and inside you just rebelling and being all begrudging and saying all kind of crazy stuff under your breath. God is not pleased with that. You can't go, I obeyed. I cleaned the dishes. I washed, cleaned up my room. But I was murmuring and saying all kind of crazy stuff under my breath anyway while I was doing it. No. Verse 2 and 3 said, honor and respect and revere your parents. So obey, but obey with the right type of attitude. Just like he loves a cheerful giver. We give, but we need to give with the right attitude. So verses 1 kind of deals with our action. Verse 2 and 3, more with our attitude. Now, before I get to obeying our parents, I'm going to deal first with parents, us as parents, what's our part to play. And then I'm also going to deal briefly with the adult parents, those of us who are in what they call the sandwich generation, where we not only have children, but we also have parents still living. And then we're going to finally get to the younger children. So look at verse 4 in Ephesians chapter 6. God says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up in the training. Some translations say bring them up in the fear and admonition or fear and instruction of the Lord. The parents, the father primarily, but also the mother, we are given charge to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And then it says, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger. In other words, when we are training our children, we need to train them in a way, in a wise and a discerning way. But we ought to train them. You and I, as parents, that's our task. That's our duty to train our children. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. You can write that down and read it later. When I start to read it, you probably say, I understand that Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Even before we get to that, Colossians 3, 21 says, Father, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. But listen, brothers and sisters, listen to what we should be doing every day with our young children as well as our older children. But especially, this really pictures the young children who are still at home. Listen to what we as parents, what we are called to do. And really, we're going to be held accountable to this by God. This is what he says in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Our Heavenly Father says this, Hear, O Israel, hear, my brother and sister in Christ, the Lord our God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then God says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, God is telling us parents to, number one, we need to know the word of God. We need to be following God closely, but also with our children, however young, however old, we need to be sharing with them the way of the Lord. When we put them to bed at night, if they're really young, we need to be praying over them and telling them about what thus said the Lord. When we wake them up in the morning, we need to be telling them what thus said the Lord. When we sit around the dinner table with them, we need to be telling them what thus said the Lord. When we take them to school, we need to be telling them what thus says the Lord. When we go to the ball game with them, we need to be telling them what thus says the Lord. Every moment that we get an opportunity, we need to be telling them what thus said the Lord. We need to be pointing them to the Lord, not only with our lips, but also with our lifestyle. We need to be instructing our children in the way of the Lord. And if they don't want to disobey, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but they want to do their own thing, especially as they get a little older, that's up to them. They're going to, you reap what you sow. If they want to forsake godly counsel, we need to be giving them godly counsel. That's our part, to instruct them in the way that they should go. Anybody with me this morning? Our part is to instruct them in the way that they should go. That's our part. Once again, young people, your part is to obey. If you choose to be wayward and disobedient, you will suffer some negative consequences. You're going to reap what you sow. So if you're blessed to have godly parents, you get blessed to have a godly father, a godly mom, and they're telling you what thus said the Lord, and you choose to rebel, you're going to suffer some negative consequences. The Lord says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I can say more about the parenting aspect, but due to time and I move on, that's another sermon for another day. But one more thing about adult children as we are called to obey our parents. You know, we ought to treat our aging parents in a Christ-like way. We should treat our aging parents with respect and honor. Even as I mentioned earlier, my sister-in-law, her dad, who was 60, had been married 62 years, and I watched him even last year when he was failing in his health, how they treated him in an honorable and respectful way. And that family is called the Edwards family, by the way. I get the wrong name earlier. Richard's family is the Edwards family, so pray for the Edwards family. Listen to what Leviticus 19:32 says. Write this down and read it later. Leviticus 19:32. Listen to what God says. God says, you should rise up before the gray-headed. I'm getting a little gray in my head, quite a bit of gray, really. You should rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God, for I am the Lord. Let me repeat that. God says you should rise up before the gray-headed, you know, pay them respect, and honor the aged, the older people, and you shall revere your God, for I am the Lord. You know, God says honor and respect the elderly. So, this morning, I'm not trying to put someone on a guilt trip, but don't neglect your elderly parents. Sometimes it may require, moving them into your house. And I know sometimes it may be better, maybe the best that you put them in an assisted living place. I like that better, assisted living, rather than, you know, we used to call it the nursing home and the old folks home, but I like the assisted living. That's more socially correct, I think. So sometimes it may be the best option for you to move your mother or your father into an assisted living place. But even as you do that, don't forget about them. Don't forget about them. Visit them. You know, and talking to some workers, you know, from time to time, I go to the assisted living places for different reasons. And I even have an aunt who's in an assisted living place. Oftentimes, some of the workers there say many of those people who are there never or hardly ever get visited by their children. That should not be, saints. I said, that should not be. Now, Ariana, when I get older, y'all might have to put me in an assisted living place. But come visit me every now and then. Don't just leave me out there. So we need to visit our elderly people, you know, your parents or your neighbor or others, church members. We need to visit them as they're in these assisted living places. We should show them honor and respect. I know many of you, once again, here at Love Fellowship, many of you do that. Over the years, I've been blessed in a way to see some of you all with your aging parents, even as they went home to be with the Lord, and how you loved them and treated them in a very marvelous way. And then some of the ones here of us who still have parents living. It's not an exhaustive list, but we should treat our parents with respect and honor. That's just what we should do. That's just the baseline. That's just the basic stuff. That's what we should do. So even as I notice here, people like Brother Rodney and Brother Greg, you know, how they treat their mom, Mother Scott. That's what we're called to do. Sister Ford, I see how she is with her mother, Mother Sims. That's just a thing that we need to do. Deacon Lowe, I mean, his mother's in North Carolina, but he often goes over to North Carolina to check on her. Brother Chris Brown, his mother's kind of ill now, but he goes to Memphis regularly to check on her. I mean, that's just what we should be doing. Minister Terman, I know his mom is down in Georgia, but he goes down there and checks on her from time to time. Minister Bray, his mother's in Alabama. He goes down there to check on her from time to time. That's just really what we should do. Sister Frances, I mean, she checks on and takes care of her mom. That's just what we should do. I mean, this is not an exhaustive list, but Sister LaShonda and Sister Satanya, I see how they are with Mother Lofton, how they check and keep an eye on her. That's what we should do. Sister Joyce Hardaway, I know she goes up to Rockwood and checks on her mom from time to time. That's just what we should do. And I know her sons, of course, kind of check on her from time. That's just what we should do. That's just a basic line of what we should do with our aging parents. I go to Arkansas almost every opportunity I get to go check on my mom. So we are called to do that, saint. It's not an option. So, well, you know, they grown. Like, no, we should take care and check on our parents. Are y'all with me this morning? So as parents, we need to be godly parents, set the right example for our children. We should train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And then those of us who have aging parents, we need to make sure we do all we can to help mommy and daddy make it well in life. So now, somebody say now. Now we're going to get to primarily the younger children, but this it still goes for us too, those of us who are older. But listen to what God says once again, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Let me read this again. This is right out of the Word of God. I don't want you to be saying that's what Pastor O'Gwen said, that's what the preacher said, that's what so-and-so said. No, this is what God said. This is what God said. I'm speaking on the authority of God. That should be every Sunday, but this is what God says. Listen to what God says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, too often when we look at verses like that, I think too often sometimes we jump to the negative aspect of a commandment. But this commandment has many great promises. I said this commandment has many great positive promises. A promise from the Lord. That's my title this morning. A promise from the Lord. So children, young people and older people, you need to obey your parents simply because it is right. You know what the Bible says? Obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents because it is right. God says do it. So as a parent, you don't have to give a whole big explanation why your children need to obey you. Just obey your parents because God said it. That's reason enough. Obey your parents because God said it. You can be 5 years old, you can be 50 years old, but the Bible says, God says, obey your parents for it is right. That's what God says. God says it is right. So honor your parents because if you're taking notes, obey your parents because it is right. Simple point. It is right. It's the right thing to do. God says do it. So obey your parents. Then honor your parents. Why? Because honor your parents is right in the text. I'm writing the Bible. Honor your parents because God gives you a promise. God gives you a promise. This is the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments, the first one with a promise. And how many of y'all know God doesn't break his promise? If he said it, he'll keep his word. He's a God that we can trust. So God said, obey your parents because it is right. It's the right thing to do. And then God said, okay, also, I'm going to give you a promise. This is a promise. That it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Those are some wonderful promises. God said, if you listen to me and you obey your parents, godly parents, it's going to go well with you and you're going to live long on the earth. Now, some theologians mention there with the long on the earth kind of really alludes to eternal life as well. But listen, young people, when your parents, when they give certain guidelines of what you should or should not do, you're not going to understand it all the time. You're not going to understand it. But just because you don't understand it don't mean that you're not called to do it. Let me repeat that. Just because you don't understand it, that doesn't mean you're not called to do it. Let me give you a quick example. Easy illustration. If there was a pre-K or kindergarten school near a busy highway, like I-75 or I-24. Matter of fact, at Eastgate, there is a school over near I-24. Now, would you think it would be like too hard or too restrictive or just killing their fun if there was a big fence put around that schoolyard? The big fence put around that schoolyard is put there because young kids in kindergarten or pre-K, they don't understand the dangers of the highway. They would run out into the highway. So God gives us instructions. Your parents give you instructions. Why? Not to be so restrictive or too whatever, but to prevent you from running out into the highway and getting run over by the things and the traps of life. So God says, obey your parents in the law, for this is right. Now we know that God is sovereign. This is a universal and a prevailing truth. We know that God is sovereign, but sometimes, God does choose to take maybe a God-fearing child or a young person trying to do quote unquote the right thing. Sometimes the Lord decides to bring them on home early. We don't understand why all that happens, but we know God is in control. He never does anything that's wrong. He's always perfect. He's always just in everything that he does. And this is a great universal truth. Once again, God said, if you obey your parents, this is right. Right, and it's going to go well with you, and you're going to live long on the earth. But if you choose to be rebellious and dishonest, it will not go well with you, and you will possibly cut your life short. It's a pretty simple principle, pretty simple concept. Let me just read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your mother and your father because this is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, that's the word of God for the people of God. But many of us who got some years on us have seen this thing played out. You know, you can, it's an amazing thing, but you can watch one crowd of people that are listening to the Lord and obeying their parents versus another crowd of people who are just doing whatever they want to do. Typically, this crowd over here who are obeying the Lord, they're going to do a lot better than this crowd over here. Let me say that again. This crowd over here obeying the Lord and following the principles of a godly parent, they're going to do much better than this crowd over here. I had some cousins. I often mention this to you all. I had uncles and cousins. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them chose to disobey God. Some of them chose to just do their own thing. And it's a mind blowing thing. Pretty much all of my uncles, about four of them, who did their own things. They said, forget you, mom and dad. I'm going to do my own thing. And these are my uncles, my mother's brothers. About four of them died before the age of 45. One of them died at 37, liver just eating up because he chose to be an alcoholic, wanted to drink. Forget what you're saying, mom and dad, about not drinking. I'm going to drink anyway. Another one just smoked himself to death, died at about 44 with lung cancer. See, if you just disobey your parents, your godly parents, it will not go well with you, and you will not live long on the earth. At least not a life that's going to be pleasing to the Lord. So when God says, be careful who you hang with, your parents said, be careful of the crowd you hang out with, those things are important. Those things are important. I know most of us young people, when we were younger, coming up in a Christian household, I don't know what your household was like, but I know what mine was like, Brother Joel, and I always thought my parents were being too restrictive. I thought they were too tight, Minister Terman. I thought they were just over the top. I mean, number one, they wouldn't ever even let me go out too much, like, you know, Friday or Saturday night. But then when they did, they say stuff like, be back home at 10 o'clock. And when I said, mama, the party don't start at 10 o'clock. I guess he was saying, that's why you need to have your little tail back at home at 10 o'clock. So I thought they were being too strict, too whatever. And check this out. But as I got older, especially once I had my own kids, suddenly my parents became much smarter. I think it was Mark Twain who said this. He said, once I became an adult, my parents got smarter. Now your parents are still the same smart as they were, but once you got to be an adult, once you have your own kids, you begin to say, man, what mom and dad were saying, that stuff makes a lot of sense. I thought it didn't make sense back then. I thought it was old fashioned or whatever. But no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, be careful who you're hanging out with. Stuff like that. I mean, one of the scariest moments of my life, I think I've shared this with y'all before. Once again, being careful who you hang out with. My parents, any godly parent going to be telling you, be careful who you hang out with, who you have in your inner circle. So I had a car. It was a big four-door car. The young people won't even know about this, but it was about an 8-seater. It wasn't an SUV, but it was an 8-seater. It was a 63 Chevy Malibu. The front seat was a bench seat, what we call a bench seat. It wasn't a bucket seat, so I can get by four people in the front seat and four in the back. Brother Michael, that was an 8-seater before they had SUVs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I was driving around, you know, I'm kind of young, got my little car, and you know, it was a hand-me-down car, really. But I'm feeling pretty good, Sister Howie. And so I ran up on these boys, and I knew them because I played football with them, but they weren't like in my inner circle. Once again, I'm talking about listening to godly counsel. My parents always said, son, be careful who you hang out with, who you know, but I let these guys get in my car. And so we riding around. I don't know them that well. I just know them kind of from football. And I said, man, y'all running up all my gas. Y'all got to put some gas in this car. I'm going to really date myself. Now, that was back when gas was like about 35 cents a gallon. True story. So we stopped at one of those self-serve stations. Once again, date myself. That's when they kind of first start opening self-serve gas stations. It used to be full serve. They always come out. So I guess they didn't quite have that format down. It wasn't like you put your card in and all that. So long story short, I said, y'all got to put some gas in my car. They said, okay, pull over to this gas station. And it was a self-serve gas station. And so one of these guys went up and was talking to the attendant. And basically what his job was, he was distracting the attendant. So the guy was back there putting gas in my car. He put $2 or $3 in there, then reset it. Put $2 or $3 more in there and reset it. So he put about $10 or $12 in my car, but only paid for about $2 or $3. I said, man, y'all gonna get me put in jail stealing gas. stealing gas. I was scared for the next 2, 3, 4 days. I saw them coming to get the car, and my dad is seeing it and going off. So you got to be careful. And guess what? They never got back in my car again. You got to be careful who you hang out with. See, if I'd have listened to my parents, I wouldn't have been all nervous for 2, 3, 4 days for stealing gas. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Obey your parents because it is right. God says do it. Oh, honor your parent because there's a promise for you that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, to honor means to give proper respect. To honor means to give proper respect. Once again, if you're blessed to be in a Christian home, just having a Christian father and a Christian mother, that in and of itself is a reason enough to honor them and give them respect. That's enough right there to honor them and give them respect. As I said earlier, we know whatever your home situation is, if your parents telling you something that's ungodly, that's against the Bible, you're not to obey that. You're not to obey that. But anytime your parent is giving you words from the Lord, giving you good wisdom, good counsel, you are called, I am called to obey that. And to give my parents honor and respect. Why? That it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So young people, you're not honoring your parents if you are maybe obeying them, but not obeying them with the right attitude. Let me repeat that. Young people, you're not honoring your parents if you're obeying them, but not obeying them with the right attitude. Even though we as parents may not see your attitude, God sees your attitude. He knows your attitude. Listen to the words of Jesus out of Matthew 15 and 4. Jesus says, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Let me repeat that. Jesus says, talking about what God has said, and that's like double confirmation. Not only Jesus is saying it, but he's saying what God has said. So God the Father and God the Son agree on this as they agree on all things. Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, but he who curses father and mother or mother, let him be put to death." Now, although these days we don't literally put our children, disobedient children, to death like they did in the Old Testament. Here's another reading point, Deuteronomy 21:21. In the Old Testament, if a child was disobedient, they bring him out before the city and they would just stone him to death. That shows us, beloved, how serious this is to God. Once again, we don't stone kids to death today, but I promise you that God's attitude toward disobedient and rebellious children has not changed. God still hates it. God hates it. And once again, he hated it so much that in the Old Testament, if a child was disobedient, they would have to bring them out and they would stone them to death. Now, if we had that going on today, I think children wouldn't be as disobedient. Things would change a lot. Obedience would go up real quickly. Stone about 2 or 3 kids and the rest of them say, "We better get in line." But children, young and old, obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. It's the right thing to do. God says we must do it. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. See, here it is. In a Christian home, the father and the mother, we really represent the authority of God. So if you disobeying your parents, you got godly parents, you disobeying your parents, you're not only disobeying them, you really, in a very real sense, not in a figurative or symbolic sense, you are literally disobeying God. Let me say that again. If you're in a Christian home and you got a Christian father, Christian mom, they give you Christian advice, they give you a biblical counsel, and you disobey them, disregard them, you're really disobeying God. That's why really parents, and I know we blow it sometimes, I know I've blown it. Really, as we in our homes with our children, we are representing the Lord in a godly home. God has set up a wonderful institution called the family. Deuteronomy 6, once again, God said, "I want me to be known, me to be centerpiece in your home." not other stuff, not materialism, not this, not that. But God said, I want to be the centerpiece in your home. So once again, my brothers and sisters, obey the Lord. Obey your parents. For this is right, that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Now, once again, the flip side is if you choose to disobey your parents, if you choose to dishonor your parents, if you choose not to reverence or respect your parents, it will not go well with you. It won't go well with you. Again, I can come up with a lot of biblical examples to give you, and just historically, you think about examples in your life, people, maybe you yourself, or maybe some of your friends, when they chose to do whatever they wanted to do. I will say this, this is my testimony. As I look back on it, my parents weren't perfect, and my parents weren't perfect, but basically about everything they told me to do or not to do, when I did it, it went pretty well, but when I went opposite of what they said, it didn't go well. So, beloved, we're called to obey our parents because it is right. We are to honor our parents because God gives us a promise. Here is a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And once again, when you are obeying your parents, you got to obey them with the right attitude. I think I've shared this little story with y'all before, but it's really kind of based on a true story. My daughter who lives in Michigan, she's 31 now, but when she was younger, I would go up there every now and then and drive her back down here to either here or to Arkansas. And I remember one time I was driving her back and she kept getting out of her seatbelt, And I kept telling her, you gotta sit down. And so this little story goes kind of similar to that. This guy was driving down the road, had his little daughter in the back. She was about 4 years old. And, you know, you're taking a long trip. Children get, you know, get restless. And so he was looking in the mirror, and every now and then his little daughter get out from under the seatbelt. He'd be like, well, baby, honey, get back under the seat. Well, and she'd get back under the seatbelt. They drive 10, 15 more miles. He'd look up. She's out of the seatbelt again. So that went on two or three times. So finally he said, because he was an old school dad. Finally he said, well, I'm going to pull this car over. I'm going to put something on your mind. Matter of fact, I'm going to put something on your behind. I'm going to put something on you. I'm going to pull over. So they kind of scared the little girl, and she said, okay, I guess I'll just stay in the seatbelt. So they drove on 20, 30, 40 miles. And so the dad kept looking back. The little girl was still in her seatbelt. He's like, okay, that worked. She's in her seatbelt. And he was just smiling. Then the little girl said, Daddy, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up in my heart. So you and I, beloved, when we obey our parents, don't just obey them outwardly, but obey them inwardly. Obey them inwardly because, once again, if you got Christian parents, your mother and your father, nobody else loves you or cares about you on planet Earth more than your mother or father. If you're from a basic functional home, nobody on planet Earth loves you more than your mother or your father. So there's nowhere in the world they're going to purposely tell you the wrong thing to do. Now, once again, as a parent, we don't always get it right. We're not perfect in what we tell you, but no parent's going to perfectly, just tell you what is wrong. When I talk to my mother at 82 years old, I know when she tells me certain things and give me a little wisdom or nuggets, I know she is telling me that for what's my good. I know she's not just telling me some old crazy stuff. That's why, again, God tells us and reaffirms us. I'm going to keep on saying it. Like I said, I probably said about 5 to 10 times this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Even if you don't feel like obeying. Say, Lord, help me to obey my mother and father. I know they're telling me the best thing for me. I know they got my best interest in heart. I know they're seeking you. And so when they tell me something, I'm really hearing from you. So all of us in here, no matter how young, no matter how old, we are to obey our parents. Y'all with me this morning? Obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Let us pray. Father, we indeed thank you for your commandment. It's not an option. It's not maybe like an elective course. We can do it if we want to do it. But no, it's a commandment from you, dear Lord, that we are to